Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Indianapolis, Indiana, welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 119, live here from Indianapolis, Indiana. Brandon Reif as your host, as always. Jonathan Birdsong, my co-host as well, will be joining us here momentarily. But, yeah, what a show we're going to have tonight for you guys. We're going to be recapping a little bit of everything. And let me get him on real quick, just seeing he got here. JB, how are you, my man?
Doing all right, man. Had a little technical difficulties, but doing other than riding that, man. Doing all right, man. Good afternoon, good evening, okay. Crossroads fam.
Hope you're holding on to your stuff at your house. It is windy as can be today.
Yeah, it looks like we got a storm on the horizon, so, yeah.
How did you do a pre-show today?
Of course. Went pretty well. Trying to run down for what we'll be talking about today. MLB, you know, saying NFL, you know, PGA.
Yeah,
believe it or not, folks.
By the way, top of the progress. I know we're not getting paid from these people, and you know, if they want to bring us in for a meal, I'd really appreciate that. Even, but John, I have tried. Now, I'm a big St. Elmo's guy. Okay, so I bought the St. Elmo's cola. Mix, bourbon whiskey mix that you could buy in stores, the big 44-ounce thing, okay? So I had all that. Well, this weekend they came out with the can version of the St. Elmo's cola cocktail that has the bourbon, all that stuff in it, and the cola, and the cherries in it, already in a can. I just had my first one today. Ooh, that's dangerous. That is dangerous. And I know people
sweet.
Are going to say on me,
dangerous.
Oh, smooth, goes down smooth, but
okay.
I know people are going to say shame on me because I was drinking before 5 p.m. today. I had a drink before 5, so people are going to say shame on me. I understand it, but shout out St. Elmo's. It's good. Just as good as it is when you go into the restaurant St. Elmo's downtown Indianapolis, it's just as good getting it from the store as well. So perfect for cocktails. Good day for it. You know, I like to have a nice little bourbon, mainly as a big winter drink, I think, personally for me. But, hey, between that, sangrias, you can't go wrong. So, anyways, all right, we're done with that. John, big show tonight. We're going to talk. We got some MLB, some NFL, NBA. We've got NASCAR. Mm-hmm. We've got IndyCar. We've got PGA. And we got a little bit of and we have an update for our fans on, quote-unquote, the match. So, more to come on that. But, John, let's start out first with MLB. There was a new proposal from the players, from the MLB and themselves for a 76-game season, 75% of a prorated salary. The regular season was going to end on September 27th and then the end of October for postseason. They were waiting on the union, the Players Association. Players Association said, uh-uh, that's not good enough for me. That's not good enough for us. So now they've turned around. The Players Association now has offered a 89-game season for more games and a little bit of money switch on there. John, are we going to get baseball this year? I know we talk about it every time.
That's fine. I mean, I think it's in doubt. Like we have team ownership from the Cardinals and the Cubs saying that, you know, they feel like this season ain't even worth playing, basically. You know what I'm saying? Like, long story short version, you know. They're getting to a deadline where they would need a deal cemented by this weekend or by the latest Monday so that they can start the season on July 10th, I would assume. You know? I just don't know, Brandon. We're in some dark territory as far as like the season start. The things that you would want to have conversations about you would want to have those back when COVID-19 hit, you know what I'm saying, back in March, you know, and they're still kind of fighting, you know what I'm saying? I haven't been to a major league outing ballpark in a long time, meaning like the early 90s. When the owner, Ricketts from the Cubs, I believe that's his name. So when an owner like him said,
yes,
it's part of going to the Cubs. It's also about winning, but is it also a spectacle as well? Is that what kind of hung up on ownership? Is kind of hung up on like all the revenue that they are getting, if they get, because that's, I mean,
well,
they're going to miss out. Obviously, they're going to miss out on concessions, right? And ticket sales.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just asking, like, what is the big hang up from ownership? They're saying that they're not going to. It's better to not even have a season. Some teams, like I said, I'm picking on the two that openly came out and said the Cardinals and the Cubs.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with cost of running the event,
okay,
itself and what you're missing out on. I think it also has the fact that they've already got maybe Major League Baseball, they have these sponsorship deals already. And my thinking process is, say you have a sponsorship with, I don't know, what's the company that makes Cracker Jacks, okay, that you already have it set for this year,
mm-hmm,
we're going to do this much. Well, we haven't had a game yet, so technically I don't have to fulfill that contract. But say you have a game, okay, the contract's not going to get changed, so are you going to get back billed since the beginning of the season? Because that's what you had. I mean, I'm sure they buy them in bulk, so I think you're losing. I think there's a lot of me losing money. I think the amount of talent you have to pay for executives, for field maintenance, for ground crews, I think that has a little bit to do with it. I think logistics for charter planes for the players. I think the charter is going to be the biggest thing, because how are you going to be able to get everybody on, you know, one separate plane or one separate,
right,
bus? You know, I think that's going to be another issue. I treat it just like NASCAR or IndyCar real quick. I'll just say that, and then I'll go back to my baseball.
Right.
I asked the question the other night on ESPN 1070, The Fan. They have a trackside show. With Kevin Lee and Donald Davidson and Kurt Cavanaugh, and they were recapping the race from the weekend and everything. Well, I got on live and asked a question because I was like, and we'll talk about IndyCar later, they ran the race, and then now they have a month off before the next race. So I was like, well, why couldn't they fill in that gap with another race during that time, or why can't they run a second Texas race? That was my question. And it comes, mm-hmm, down to, just like Major League Baseball, expenses. It costs a lot for these teams to fund a race car, to fund tires, to fund to get all that down there twice, you know, in, say, a two-week period.
Right.
Wrecking an Indy car costs how much money for it to get fixed. A lot of these teams, and some of these teams in Indy car, I mean, if you don't know Indy car, they're very expensive. So there's not a lot of small teams in IndyCar. So it costs a lot to get a car out there, and the finances just weren't there to add another race for that. Would they have loved to? Absolutely, probably, they said. But
right,
financially-wise, it's not. And it's like Major League Baseball, I think the owners, it's just not financially right for them to do it unless they're getting a larger portion, which that's a whole other separation. Who deserves more, the players or the owners? Because if you're going to ask me, I think it's the owners. Because some of these contracts in Major League Baseball already, a la Bryce Harper, $375 million, or Mike Trout, $350 million, that's a little too much,
right,
in my opinion.
Right. Well, hey, that's what's negotiated out. That's what that was, you know, kind of all mashed potatoed out, you know what I'm saying, in their last CBA. I don't know, Brandon. They're getting to a point with me where they're going to just have to just do a everybody's in type of World Series, and just go from there, like Final Four, man, and just go from there. And everybody just splits the money, and whoever's the champion gets crowned a champion. It'll be something different. It'll be something new. It'll be something exciting. It'll be something that they can tag a 30 for 30 on. You see where I'm going with this? It'll be something they can write a Hollywood,
yep,
story on. Kevin Costner will be playing the owner that was the one that wanted to. To do this, everything, you know, in the first place, and while, you know, he couldn't get a full, you know, there'll be a Hollywood story about this if they can get the ball rolling, and they can't get the ball rolling, and it's sad because it's like, I know somebody Major League Baseball is the oldest league that we have, I do believe.
Uh-huh.
I do believe it even predates football. Like somebody fact checked me, I know. But so like, why can't, if America is this big of a crisis, right? And we do know that the players on the field represent, you know, say people from all types of the world. You know what I mean? What better way to get that out there? What better way to get that product out there, man? What better way to hear somehow? I know I'm drawing straws right here. If you get the baseball ambassadors out there talking about baseball, you know what I'm saying? I know your allegiances don't necessarily side with the Red Sox, but whenever you hear Big Poppy talk, you like feel good. Like you want to, you like, damn man, I want to go hit a couple balls. You know what I mean? He's that charismatic.
Uh-huh.
And then there's other people that you can kind of, you know what I'm saying, hook your you know what I'm saying, line to as far as charisma is concerned. But like I said, man, the bastards right now, we've got reporters talking about the owners ain't getting along with the players, and the players it's like a strike season without a strike season. You know, so
yep.
I hope they get their act together. And like I said, if they go to a World Series type of, everybody's in it. Like I said, man, imagine like the national, everybody's gonna be watching. Period. They are. They'll find time to watch. You know what I mean? And like there's money they can get on the back end that way. I don't know, but it would take smarter men logistically, men and women logistically, to figure all that out for them. But
I also think this might be a down year for baseball. I think viewership wise, because this is just an anomaly this year. But you're going to be having NBA, you're going to have NFL, you're going to have golf majors, you're going to have more NASCAR races, IndyCar races. This fall, and maybe hell, college football for say, this docket this fall is going to be so crazy. I think baseball, it's a big miss for them because nobody's going to sit there and want to watch a 3.5-4 hour game later this on when you have NBA Finals, game one. You have NFL season, week eight. Baseball, I think the owners are looking at this like, listen, we're not going to get the viewership we thought we would get normally.
You could if you make every game important. That's what I'm saying. You make every game count for something. That's all I'm saying. So, okay.
Okay. Sammy Sosa. I don't know, John, if you knew this much, but Cubs fans do know that there was a falling out period between Sammy Sosa and Chicago Cubs. Jersey's still not retired. Sammy had some hatred for Cubs ownership. Ownership did the same thing to Sammy. Bitter back and forth. Well, Sammy Sosa came out this week and said he is open to a reunion. Time heals all wounds for them to retire the number 21 jersey. There is a chance that's going to probably happen if they have baseball this year. The reason why that was brought out because this Sunday, 30 for 30, just like they had the Jordan, you know, the last dance, every Sunday night there was a 30-30. This last one was Lance Armstrong, and then there was somebody else, Bruce Lee, I think, might have been the one before that. But this Sunday night is the McGuire-Sosa home run record chase. 30 for 30 is this Sunday night. That's going to be a great one. I remember watching that back in 98. But sent your recorders for that one. But so that was where that topic got brought up from. So that's going to be a good one.
I remember being defrauded.
Man,
you know, Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire kind of low-key admitted to a performance issue. Sammy Sosa still hasn't admitted to anything, and he wants to send an olive branch to the Cubs. If they want to take him back, they can take him. I kind of lost my respect for Sammy Sosa a long time ago, man.
What about Barry Bonds?
Again, Barry Bonds probably, you know what? Good call, man. Listen, if Barry Bonds was just be honest. Because every writer that's smarter than me, Brandon, from Mitch Albom on down, you know what I mean, that's smarter than me, will tell you that Barry Bonds was in the Hall of Fame before he went to San Francisco, which seemingly where he kind of transitioned from this all-around great baseball player to this dynamic, hit him out the park, you know what I'm saying, well, if you pitch to him, right, you know what I mean? So Barry Bonds needs to be, I mean, his ego will not allow him to be honest. You see what I'm saying? His ego would say, well, that guy did it. That guy was doing it. That guy was doing it. That guy was doing it. I should have been able to do it too. You know what I'm saying? That's what Barry Bonds' ego. So again, Barry Bonds pre San Francisco Giants in the Hall of Fame. Nobody, everybody says it. He's got the stats and he's got the in the appearances, All Star appearances. He's got, you know what I'm saying, whatever the resume to back it up. So again, Barry Bonds, he's a jerk, right? And we forget about that. Sorry, you know what I mean? I don't work for ESPN. I don't work for Fox. I can say he's a jerk. That's true. So again,
well, he also tried to license himself. Which he thought he would make more money licensing himself, keeping himself out of the video games.
Barry Bonds didn't have to use it. Whereas I don't think McGuire used it to prolong longevity. You see what I'm saying? So it's kind of bad, man. So like, you know, at this point they should just have open contract. Why'd you do it then? You know what I'm saying? You were already great. You did it for the money. The money was already out there. That's how you negotiate. I don't know. I enjoyed that whole back and forth, man. Because I remember coming home and saying, man, well, how many did? I mean, you're just a casual fan, as I was. I mean, not me. I'm saying not you. I was just a casual fan, man. Well, how many? Not that it was racial or anything like that. But that technically, there is a white guy and there is a black guy who used to be black, as we know. what's his name? Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, he ain't black no more, or his complexion is not black. Sammy Sosa, right? That's a whole nother argument there, Brandon. But you know, they was going back and forth like a real race. You know what I'm saying? It seemed to me all legit and all real. I didn't know. It's like, dude, this dude's just work out. Hell, everybody's working out at that point. Everybody's working out with weights, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Again, at some point, Brandon, we got to bring somebody back on here from MLB. That's cool to explain to me, a proponent of who says that these guys automatically walks into the Hall of Fame, no questions asked, including A-Rod as well, including some other folks, you know what I'm saying, as well. But if there is a forgiving media or some type of forgiving Major League Baseball that allows Sammy Sosa, that allows A-Rod into the Hall of Fame, then why is Pete Rose still sitting around chilling? I still don't understand that.
Yep. Yeah. I agree. Fun fact for all those video gamers, reason why Barry Bonds not being in in the video games, the video game, obviously he wanted his own likeness, thought he could make more money off his own likeness than give it to the MLBPA. The name you had known us in some of the video games was Reggie Stocker. That was the name they used for him on the video games as a default player. Well, Reggie is another name for Barry, and Stocker, Stocks and Bonds, Reggie Stocker. So there's a fun fact for you. A lot of you did not know that. So use that one next time at the dinner table. All right, John, let's go to the NFL. A lot of news in the NFL. Man. Not a lot. Decent news in the NFL. Goodell said Friday the league messed up on not allowing players to kneel for the national anthem. I don't think Goodell was going to say anything at all. And then somebody within the National Football League leaked a video with Black Lives Matter and such. And you got to think, Goodell was the last major sports league to say something, I believe, make a public comment on this. So now he's saying the league messed up and didn't allow them to kneel last year. It's not looking good for the NFL continually.
From a PR standpoint, no. And I know there's things out there talking about, and they need to just give Colin Kaepernick a tryout or whatever. I don't know. If Colin Kaepernick wants to do that, I say let – you know what I'm saying? I think I had some conversations with folks about Colin Kaepernick and the NFL, and quite honestly, like, they owe him a lot of money. I don't know what I know there was a settlement, but I think they still owe him a lot of money at this point. They didn't. Roger Goodell was choice with his words because he didn't mention Colin Kaepernick by name. I don't think double jeopardy is involved or anything like that. But there could be some more litigation if he did say Colin Kaepernick. We were wrong because again, there's still like this aura of they didn't let Colin Kaepernick play, and it was like collusion. You know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. The NFL, I still don't want to be all negative about it. So, because it still had to happen. And Goodell did did kind of put his neck out there because he didn't get full buy-in from all the owners. A lot of owners were say, "Huh?" They didn't know anything about it. You know what I mean? Again, Roger Goodell is the face of the NFL when it comes to the managerial part, right? But again, I think people forget that he has bosses that he answers to. And those bosses are, you know, saying the 30 plus NFL owners that we have around this nation. So again, everybody didn't know Roger Goodell was going to be to put the official tag of the NFL on there like that. But it kind of had to be said, man, because again, Drew Brees, to try to transition some of this, Drew Brees took a bath in the media for 40, like, you know, negatively. Right, and some of it rightfully so, because some of the comments he made were ignorant, because he just wasn't thinking, right? But there's a brotherhood, not to be totally, you know what I'm saying, not to say one superserves the other, the brotherhood of being a black or white person, or the brotherhood of being a black person, but there's a brotherhood in that locker room that they say that they build upon, you know what I'm saying? And like, I don't know, you know, he did his damage control. I don't think it was Democrat. I think it was like he actually thought about, you know what I mean, afterwards what he did and what he said, you know. So a lot of these things need to happen. A lot of these things that, you know, that what Goodell saying it need to happen. Because like now, be honest with you, man, it kind of takes it off Goodell's consciousness, man. He did the right thing. There's a movie that I love by Spike Lee, where, you know what I'm saying, one of the main characters goes to Spike Lee's character, always do the right thing. That's the premise of the whole movie, always do the right thing. And that's technically the right thing to come out and say it. So, like, again, not to pick on anyone, any owner, some owners, you know what I'm saying, were apt against it. Some owners kind of said, hey, players need to do whatever they want. So there was obviously some – there's obviously a split even in ownership, amongst the ownership groups, of like what and who and like how we should deal with this particular thing. But this act of protest, you know. So the one thing I haven't heard nobody saying, Brandon, though, is they refuse to play. See, they keep on saying we're gonna play, but we're gonna protest, right? So again, ownership, sometimes, Brandon, you know what, man, they better be glad that I ain't playing, that I'm not a player, because I'd be like, well, you know what, ownership, I'm not, and I wasn't a star player. I'd be like, guess what, I'm not playing. And then you figure that out until somebody from ownership comes out and says, hey, man, you know what, we were wrong. Because, like, again, Goodell is the managerial part of the owner. I know he catches a lot of heat, but he ain't the owner. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, man. I the NFL is always, you know, saying seemingly taking left and right from a PR standpoint, and this wasn't totally terrible for them, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. Definitely a step in the right direction for sure.
Absolutely, I totally agree with that. with NFL news as well, Dalvin Cook announced he's going to be holding out for more money, a better contract. Won't show up to camp. Won't show up to workouts. He's went and drew his line in the sand with the Vikings, says, I ain't coming if you're not paying. To my personal opinion with him is he wants about $13 million a year, and I can see that for as well as he played, but also the fact that he needs to stay injury-free for that. I know everybody tries to stay injury-free, but with him, you know, the demands of it, you were out for, what, 4 or 5 weeks at a time, I think, in the past couple of years. And he's already won that new $13 million deal, which, I mean, who else are they going to spend it on? Kirk Cousins?
What's my man's name? Rob, Kirk Cousins. He's low. He's set for life. What's my man's name? Play for the Colts. Safety. Stays in and off the IR list. It's the same situation with him, man. Situation with him. Availability is the best. It's how you get paid. And, you know what I'm saying? Regardless of if you look stellar, you know what I'm saying? 6 out of 16 games, man. They can't give you that max loaded contract without knowing that you're 100%. So yeah, I totally see that.
Yep. The rookie from the Raiders, I can't think of his name. Gosh dang it, I have top of me. He got drafted. Oh, Bowden Jr. Got drafted by the Raiders this year, and then all of a sudden the police raided his home in Ohio and found guns, drugs. Raiders are aware of the situation and communication, but not good with your, I think it was your first or second, I think it's your second round pick, John, that you're, he's already getting in trouble and he's already arrested.
Minnesota Vikings. I haven't really delved into like any offseason.
No, Raiders.
Moves.
Raiders.
Well, I'm sorry. Dang. I haven't delved into any of the offseason moves around the league, so shame on me for that. Other than the Colts, rather. You know what I'm saying? I will say that. It's just unfortunate, man. I know. And then like about a month and a half ago, they had the two guys that were, they had to turn themselves in for robbery. You know, a lot of things have kind of been lost maybe for the good because it, I don't know, man. I don't understand criminal activity. Once you get to a certain point, I don't understand criminal activity. I don't understand criminal activity at all. But like once your check is like basically one of your game checks, excuse me. I had to sneeze there, sorry. Once your one of your game checks looks like what somebody brings home for a year's salary, like a uh-huh. game check, what are you involving yourself in any type of drug selling, under the money laundering, moving weapons, robbing people at late night, after hour places, man? I don't get it. So, I don't know, man.
Jameis Winston, John. Jameis Winston has dropped 15 pounds. He got LASIK surgery. He says he's ready to go.
Ready to go to beat Brute Drew Brees for a starter position?
I mean,
not this.
I mean, it may happen. That left and right guard may just collapse on that first play. And,
Drew Brees ain't lost. He ain't lost the team that bad. He kind of lost some of the team's respect for about a week or so. I guarantee you. And I know there'll be a lot of mm-hmm. during training camp reopens, man. There'll be a lot of things he'll have to answer for because he's not answering for him like through Twitter or social media or through the phone or through a text, or whatever. But like, I don't know mm-hmm. about Drew Brees succeeding his job to Jameis Winston. But that's good for Jameis, man. I'm glad he's in shape and he's seeing things better.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot to add on the Major League Baseball. Tonight's the draft. Major League Baseball draft tonight, 7 o'clock on ESPN. So my red, maybe we can.
It's a fail. It's still a fail, Brandon, because they don't publicize it. The only thing people are talking about is when they're gonna play. You know what I mean? Are they gonna play? And like this should have been like the side dish. They should have figured this out 2.5 weeks ago. This should have been the side dish, man. So I'll tap into it for sure to see who goes where. But yeah, this unfortunately, tonight is the Major League Baseball draft. Yep.
Hey, shout out to the Mac. Conference, the Mid-American Conference, the MACtion. The MAC is back, as I like to call it. They are the first conference. They are going to have their own esports league out of all the conferences. In colleges, they're going to have their first esports league. So big news for the MAC.
Okay.
Ball State's going to have a team for esports. You know how big esports is going, John. You see it on the TV all the time. It started with Madden, and you got the NBA. You had the NBA players in the league. You have the Pacers have their own Pacers gaming team. So shout out to the Mac for finally getting one together with that. NBA, John, it's been approved. We're getting the NBA back, John. I can't do a dance long enough for everybody to see how happy I am. But reports are that the 2021 season, the season after this season, will be probably condensed. And it could start December 1st. The NBA Players Association, though, is going to push against it because you finish October 12th, you start back up December 1st, and you got to think there's going to be a training camp in there for new players and new teams. I just don't see it starting that early, John. I think more of a January 1st to even starting it the 1st of February would be in shorten the season. What's your thoughts?
Oh man, that kind of blew me away, man. That would be fair. We can't just run, guys. Just be running, just so we can try to catch up, man.
We're trying to get LeBron as many championships as we can.
They're trying to get him. Oh wow, you called it already. LeBron wins that many championships. If wins five championships in less than 13 months, man. Let's see Michael Jordan do that, right? That would be a feather in his cap, right? For argument's sake, no, man. Let's try to. let's not just run the guys ragged, man. It would make sense to space out the season. No, and again, like I said, nobody. There would be something that people's attention. I don't even know what the heck. Maybe during that time where they usually are, you know, the dominant sport or the start of the season, they put the G League out there or the Summer League out there or Fall League, whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? That could potentially be an option. But because again, Brandon, that's all part of it for me anyway. As an NBA fan, that's all part of the NBA experience. Like, again, I get to see the guys who the veterans. I see they're on vacation for a while, and then you get to see like the guys who's trying to get into the league, the rookies or who the guys who just got drafted or the free agents who trying to make a team or make a squad. So, yeah, I and like I said on the pre-show, man, college basketball is changing to the point that it's like one and done's are going to be not going to college anymore. They're going to go straight to the G League how can the G League exposure, you know what I'm saying? How can it gather more fandom and more people attention to it until you give it time? You can't give it proper ears and eyes unless when league's going on, because everybody's gonna watch the main show. So, and they definitely
need to space it out. Hey John, me and you, we need to defend the throne. It's come that time in the show where we need to defend the throne, the brotherhood of the Duke brotherhood. The more allegations that we're getting against Zion Williamson now, that housing and car claims, that his parents moved from $153,000 South Carolina home with a monthly rent of $900 to a North Carolina home valued at almost $1 million with a rent of $5,000 a month, the three vehicles. Listen, we need to defend our boy, Zion, and the program of Duke University. Come on now.
I don't know, man. They're going to lure all this up because it already got thrown out of court in a New York court.
Yep.
But now the courts, you know what I'm saying, now the courts are kind of arguing it out between the Florida court and between the New York court, man. Everybody's trying to – I'm not going to put this petitional whistleblower on blast and try to say that he or she – in this fact, it's a he. No, I'm sorry. It's not a he. It's a they. Right?
She.
I'm not trying to put them on blast.
Yeah.
Yes, right. But so Zion Williamson basically didn't sign once he became, you know what I'm saying, turned pro and everything. He basically didn't sign with this particular person's agency or whatever. So that's just trying to recoup. So if it was foul dealings, here's my point, Brandon. If it was foul dealings going into it, you're just pissed. Sorry. You're just mad that he didn't fulfill his end of the contract. Somehow, because there's no way an agent – I mean, again, there's a dirty underbelly of all this, Brandon. It does not smell good. And my personal opinion is why Coach K would – I know Duke, Brandon, has disassociated itself from this type of – they have. There's no way they cut. There's no way that nobody cut a check and say, hey, guy, Duke assistant coach, or hey, Duke head coach, go get me Zion Williamson by any means necessary. So there's always – there's a gray area of how Zion Williamson ended up at Duke. I get it. I do. That's just the forthright honesty, okay? So, but if lady thought she was – if the lady thought this was wrong, then you should have called – you should have blew the whistle – before.
A long time ago.
Correct. You see what I'm saying? Not when Zion Williamson probably, if you believe in this case, if you believe everything that you read in that particular report, right? Then you should have, there's no way that person didn't get paid. That person just didn't get paid as much as they thought they was going to get paid. Okay? That person, person basically became an in-between, a go-between patsy that probably got a little bit and not a lot of bit. So, again, it's not a whistleblower that we have. We just have a pissed-off person. So, again, at some point, all the lawyering and going back and forth, she's looking for money, or they looking for money, there'll be a settlement, and this will all go away. I guarantee. I don't want to guarantee it, but that's what I'm thinking. Because that's basically what it is. This is not about bringing down the Duke and their cheating, or whomever else kind of does business like this. As far as NCAA is concerned, if you believe if you believe these facts, if you believe this report to be true. You know what I'm saying? So this is not about bringing down Duke or bringing down anybody, any other institution or any other icon. This is about I didn't get paid what Zion Williamson or who of the family said they was going to give me back. We got salty,
right.
Salty nuts, unfortunately.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Let me play the music. Breaking news. Breaking news from the NBA world. Adrian Wojnarowski with a Woj bomb. Sources say the NBA and the NBA and the NBA Players Association are finalizing terms on a return to play plan today and tonight. There is a faction of players discussing a group whether restarting the season in Orlando bubble is a good idea. Several dozens of players are participating in a conference call in the last 24 hours, and there is a majority that may not want to play.
Well, dang, man. Wait to the last minute now, fellas.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I understand.
Skip Mills will play.
I understand where they're coming from. There's going to be a lot
Put him in.
There's going to be a lot of daily testing. There's going to be a lot of different things that they're not going to be accustomed to as far as what they were accustomed to with, you know what I'm saying, when the season, you know what I mean? I don't know, man. Guys got a lot of – I see a lot of ballers' life tattoos, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying you put your life over basketball, you know what I'm saying? But there are certain restrictions and whatnot that I don't think guys –
John, we're opening back up.
They
it's plain and simple. COVID numbers are going down.
I mean,
We got businesses open back up. Here's another thing, people, and I don't want to get political. I don't want to get any of that. But just saying, we have all these marches and all these protests. The numbers ain't going up from what I've seen with the COVID since these marches and protests. And there was people on top of people everywhere.
Just saying. I don't know, man. Certain areas, man. Arizona's a hotbed, unfortunately. But
they start getting it later. So we'll see. Anyways, breaking news.
That's
so Wojnarowski, faction of players is hesitant on the restart in a bubble environment. Listen, I thought they have a great deal. I'm getting some kickback on your end. I don't know if you're hearing it. The fact that they're not going to be drug tested either. Recreational drug test is not going to happen. So they can smoke. You want to smoke weed in Orlando while you're in there? You can smoke weed while you're in Orlando.
Be more relaxed.
I mean,
could be more relaxed, I guess. Even though it's decriminalized in Florida. I don't know if that's a benefit or a detriment or not. But I guess
so,
it just makes for a more relaxed time of being there. Yeah.
So Wojnarowski is saying as well that the Players Association and the NBA are expected to agree on a provision that would not require players to play.
Okay.
So this could add another funky thing that if you don't want to play, but I think Damian Lillard might be one of the only few that doesn't want to play. And if you don't want to play, then take your ass back to Portland. That's fine. But the majority of players are going to play, they're going to play.
I bet you when the playoff starts, nobody will use said provision. Said provision will.
Hey, Melo's ready.
Melo's ready. Right. Chop it at the bit.
Yeah, he's ready to go. He'll play. We've got that going on. some quick hitting news for you, John. Justin Smith, the former Indiana Hoosier, has signed on with Arkansas. He's transferred from IU. He's going to play down in the SEC at Arkansas. Should be interesting to see how he does down there. Kind of a head-scratcher going from IU to Arkansas.
Yeah, not really necessarily an improvement as far as from a system and from a national attention-wise. But, you know, you kind of go with who kind of recruited you in the first place or who, you know what I'm saying,
yep.
or whatever association you might have with a coach there or whatever. Arkansas kind of went up and down. As a program, I know. You know, saying there's no pressure though, right? So that's what we do know. There's no pressure playing. Not in this era, Arkansas. So kudos to him for at least finding the Division I spot. But there's gonna be some tough there's gonna be some tough games. I promise you. Even in the SEC play against Kentucky, against Florida, because like I said, those are top two in SEC play.
Yep, absolutely. The PGA Tour, John, starts tomorrow. The tour is back. We got tee off first tee times 7:58 a.m. tomorrow morning. First tees, pretty early, but I'll be watching PGA live. Also, the NBCSN Sports app. You can catch first round coverage, special groups. There is a huge tee time at 1:50 tomorrow with Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, and John Rahm, the top three players, and besides Tiger. Everybody but Tiger's on this. 16 of the top 20 players on the tour right now are in this. John, that's a big purse, too. $8 million. Woo, buddy.
$8 million.
In this little tournament.
Yeah, $8 million, and John Rahm's complaining about being mic'd up.
Justin Thomas.
Yeah, John Rahm was kind of just indifferent to it because it's different. I think Justin Thomas was kind of like, he was kind of like blatantly saying, no, I don't want to wear. I mean, I get it. You know what I'm saying? You have your rituals when you're out there doing your thing. But again, being mic'd up is kind of something like, you know what I'm saying, the association is just trying to do to make it more fan friendly. It's because guess what we don't have here? We don't have fans, right? So, I don't know, man. It's going to be good. It's going to be great to see. One of the other American great major American sports kind of get it's going like I said they got to go through I did research this up they got to go through a lot of testing everybody's got to get swabbed.
I can tell you did your research.
Everybody,
you knew John Rahm's name.
Stop. Everybody's got to be thermometer tested, like if you have a temperature, and they're going to ask the golfers and the caddy. Do they have any COVID system questions? So it's going to be something a little bit different. There was a big Zoom call, whatever that everybody went through, whatever. But like saying, going through the call and going and reading procedures and actually going through is two different things, right? Or can be. So, but again, I'm thinking, you know, once they get out there and you know what I'm saying, once the concentration gets going, I think it'll be business as usual for all the participants.
Yeah, should be good this weekend. Tiger is not there playing this week. He's expected to play next week. Little side fact, some guys I follow on Twitter, they're big Tiger guys. They downloaded a maritime app so you can see where all the boats are and such. And Tiger's boat, which is nicknamed Privacy, so you can get the if you can look up the code for his boat or whatever, it sailed off of West Palm Beach 2 days ago. Off of West Palm Beach, and it's on its way to South Carolina, and that's where next week's golf match is at. So you got to believe Tiger's going to make his debut. He usually stays on his yacht when they're on the coast like that. So Privacy and Tiger Woods next weekend should be a good one. Yeah, this is going to be great to see. I think golf's ratings are going to go high this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't high already off the match, I'm looking forward to it. Also within golf related news with myself, John, I played a lot better this past weekend. Played a lot better, was hitting the ball, striking the ball well, looking good. Golf league tomorrow night, so we'll see. I closed out my first week in golf league with a W, so golf league tomorrow night. And then for an update for everybody, Reggie Sykes, King of Trolls, Sports Spot, has agreed to the match play against me here in the next week or two. We got to get schedules for you, Jonathan, figured out on a day.
Good.
Myself and Reg, we're going to go out and do it. We're going to film it, Instagram, Facebook Live. John's going to hit some balls out there, too, with us. It's going to be a good old time, but Reggie has agreed to it. I'm working right now on the matchup of how it's going to work because I'm going to have to give him some strokes based on our scores. So, but we're going to get it right. I'm going to give him some strokes. We're going to go out there and play. We're going to have a good time. And Sports Spot versus Crossroads, golf, the match. Looking forward to it. So, you got to imagine all that trash talking is going to be going. It's going to be good.
I can't wait.
So, let's see. IndyCar, John. IndyCar, the Genesis 300 at Texas Motor Speedway was this past Saturday night on primetime NBC. Uh-huh. Scott Dixon, the Iron Man, probably one of the third greatest IndyCar driver in history, won the race. And he's catching A.J. Foyt, and he's catching Mario Andretti with wins all time. Mm-hmm. Scott Dixon, I heard a saying yesterday that he has won at least one race the last 17 years. Now, that's something when it comes to racing. To win at least one race for 17 years. He won the Texas race. He's a three-time IndyCar champion, season champion. He's won the Indy 500 once in 2008. People are like, yeah, well, Scott can't get it done. He's only won Indy once. Well, so did Mario Andretti, and he's got a lot of credentials with his name. It just shows Scott runs better. Yeah, Scott runs better midway through the season and then turns it on towards the end of the season. FY, with him winning this Texas race, this is his fourth win at Texas, okay? He's won four races at Texas. The last three times he's won at Texas, he's also won the championship those years as well. So if he's starting out this good, it's going to be, hey, watch out, IndyCar, Scott Dixon. He's going to be one to watch and whenever they do it. But here's another thing with this, John. The race itself, I watched practice. I watched qualifying. We actually posted a lot on Crossroads Twitter account. I was posting a lot during the day on Saturday for qualifying and all that and practice. There was a lot of wrecks. A lot of it wasn't due to inexperience. I mean, yes, there were some rookies and they never ran an oval at all, but there's a traction I don't want to get too technical. There is a traction compound that they placed on the track last November that would create a second lane, racing lane for NASCAR. Okay. You following me?
I got you.
So when they thought they scraped it all off after the November race, okay, well, it was 94 degrees on Saturday for qualifying and practice. Well, when that compound, I guess, above the main racing line heated up, it was like an ice rink for IndyCar tires. So there was no second line, and people were getting up in that line before they knew it and crashing. There was veterans that were crashing. There was rookies. There was six crashes in practice, which was only an hour and a half long. And you're barely lucky if you see one crash.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an issue for the race. But there was a little bit of fandom. It was going to get close at the end, but Scott Dixon just ran away with it, John. It was the NBC. It was delivered the most watched non-Indy 500 race since 2016. 1.285 million viewers watched it, and obviously Indianapolis led all the markets for the race. So I was just glad to have racing back. There were people bitching. It wasn't an exciting race. It was a boring race. Guess what? You wanted racing back in IndyCar. It's back. And I was happy to have it back.
Brandon. So there's not going to be –
Yes.
If there's no fans at the Indianapolis 500, new ownership says there will be no race. Is the Indianapolis 500 that much of a spectacle? Is it more than just a race? I haven't been.
Yes, it is.
I have been. So it's more than just a race. So, but how much of
it is, John? Because they're going to have it.
Go ahead, Brent.
They are going to have it this year. Roger Penske. Now they did take it out of context what he said about the fans. So. Yes, they prefer to run it with fans, and 95% of it is they're going to run with fans. If they can't run it in August, they have a couple dates in October that they could move the 500 to. Okay, there's more to it, John. With the back home again in Indiana playing in an empty track just doesn't come back right. The balloon drop, all the festivities of the day leading up to it. Just doesn't seem right without fans there. I think the fans need Indy 500 just as much as the Indy 500 needs fans, if that makes sense, more than any other track or any other race. I think my thing with the race as well, Indiana is opening up things more and more. We just talked. The governor just announced today that this Friday they're pushing up stage 4 opening. So, movie theaters, bowling alleys, 50%, some other places, 100%, bars, restaurants, nightclubs, all that's opening up. track racing tracks can have fans up to, what, 25% or what, 50%. People were concerned because NASCAR in Indianapolis Motor Speedway announced that they're not going to have fans allowed for the Brickyard 400 or the Grand Prix that's coming up on July 4th weekend. I know that seems like a bummer, but here's my thing. NASCAR, they were already struggling with attendance, so let's just let this year be this year the way it is. And if we're not going to have fans there, hey, you know what? So be it. Let's watch it on TV. Maybe that'll get some more people to actually watch the race. And you can't sell tickets this short of a period, I don't think, and get a decent crowd in there for what they're looking. So why not just go back to the drawing board for next year's race? With the IndyCar race that's that same weekend, you don't need to push it in there because you have one in October already scheduled as a road race. So if you take one off not having fans in there, you're saving it. But between Roger Penske and Mark Miles of the Speedway announced, they just thought it was too big of a risk to take to put fans in there July 4th weekend for both races, that something could happen and it would compromise the possibility of having fans in August for the Indy 500. So their priority as the track is to have more fans, have fans there for the Indy 500 rather than the Brickyard. So that's why that announcement was made.
Got you. Dude, I just know you have a great insight on all things racing, more so IndyCar. I would say more so IndyCar than anything else, man. And like I said, man, like when that kind of came across my timeline, I was like, man, well, everything was all positive with Roger Penske till he said no race, man. But I understand that the race they have a whole freaking parade and everything with the 500, man. So I understand the pageantry that comes with the Indianapolis 500. I think some people kind of just see it as another race. Like, yes, you won. Yes, it's important that you run. But I think some people get, like the outside fan, kind of sees it as another race. And like, you kind of won. Like, so why would you run? That's why I answer that.
Yeah. If Crossroads Sports this year, due to the number of limited people they can have, if Crossroads Sports this year doesn't get media credentials for it, like we've done in the previous years for race months, next year, John, you're going with me to the track for all the other stuff. So you're going to be able to witness it yourself.
Yeah, I've been to qualifications, man, 97, 98, back in the day, man, but I haven't been to the actual race.
Well, things have changed since then, so it's a lot better. A lot better access and
it
such. And plus,
then.
You can sit air. You can sit air conditioned in the media room too.
Oh wow!
I'm all about it. Let's go to NASCAR. NASCAR has had another race this past Sunday. Good race that they had. Now they've announced they are going to start allowing fans in a couple tracks. In Florida this weekend, Homestead, Miami. They're going to allow spectators. But the prerequisite with this is the fact they're going to have military people, military families come as the fans and let them come in to the race and be able to see it. And then the following week at Talladega, the big, huge track like Daytona Super Speedway, they're going to allow 5,000 spectators there at the race. So they are starting to have some tracks as some states open up, some fans come into it. Just in a couple weeks, though, Indy will not. So there's that. Also, John, NASCAR is actually getting ready to start now tonight. They are in Martinsville, a little short track inside Virginia tonight. This track is a historic track, John. It's like a paperclip. The track is set up like a paperclip. It's a half-mile track, so a real short track. Tonight at 7 o'clock, it's the first time they're going to run this race at night. Martinsville has lights now, so they're going to run it as a night race. So it should be – typically these races, short tracks equal short tempers for drivers. So tonight should be no different for that race. Speaking of NASCAR, John, Bubba Wallace, the only African-American NASCAR driver that's out there right now. This weekend, tonight, he's running the Black Lives Matter car, number 43. Also, he's asked NASCAR that there's no reason they should not have he doesn't want Confederate flags flown at any of the races by any of the fans or anybody. Well, NASCAR came out today and said, yes, we listen to you, we hear you, we've banned Confederate flags and such. I never understood. I understood it because it was NASCAR and from the South and racing in the South and all, but I didn't really understand like why we still have that flag around in, I guess, metropolis places and like sporting event places. It never made sense to me.
The Southern Cross flag never offended me till somebody educated me and said I needed to fit to offend me. But you bring up a good point, and I'll just be honest with you. They kind of cartoonized the Southern flag as for me as a youth when they put it on top of the General Lee and put it in a TV show called The Dukes of Hazzard, right? But again, The Dukes of Hazzard, I was being honest with you, Brandon. They
and the cartoons.
Right. They always did the right thing.
Yosemite
right.
Sam?
But see, okay, good. Good call. But Yosemite, yeah, he always got his ass kicked by Bugs Bunny. So anytime I ever experienced that flag outside of U.S. history class, it was always, well, Dukes of Hazzard is some good old boys. You know what I'm saying? They're, you know, I can sing you the Waylon Jennings song if you want me to. I'm not going to. I'm just saying. But I didn't take it as offensive. And definitely didn't take it as, you know, so your Sammy Sam, you know what I'm saying, as offensive. Because like I said, Bugs Bunny and whoever else always, you know, Daffy Duck always kicked his ass at the end of the cartoon. But it does have negative connotations. It does actually, it's actually a treasonous, if everybody wants to say, you know what I'm saying, what's honorable to America, what's honorable to, what's an honorable patriot. Actually, it's a treasonous flag because they lost the war. If you know anything about U.S. history, so again, man, sometimes though. Here's the thing, though, Brandon. So I will offer this. Some people found the flag as a prideful thing for Southerners. Period. Not necessarily attached to racism. I do know that for a fact. Not necessarily attached to racism. Not necessarily attached to any type of bigotry. But it's kind of hard to separate the two. You see what I'm saying? Again, I got no problem with NASCAR. I know people are going to, I'll be honest with you, they're probably going to bring their flags anyway. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Because those people are prideful. Those people are prideful of being Kentuckians. Those people are prideful of being from Texas. Those people are prideful of being, you know what I'm saying? And they maybe not know, Brandon, the lowdown, the ballistics I just said about the flag. They might even know that I don't know how they couldn't, right? Because we all learned, you know, since the Civil War, at least I thought, in U.S. history class, right? But they might not care about all that. And they just kind of take pride in it. And sometimes, you know, sometimes people take pride in even the negative things in this world, you know what I mean? So kudos to one of the great organizations, the sporting organization that we have, NASCAR. They at least disassociating themselves from it. And I don't know how we could not even talk about the video that the drivers put together.
I saw you post that on our Instagram.
Yeah. the drivers put together in support of Black Lives Matter, man, because like I said, like, you know, and that's crazy, Brandon, because like you just said, only one driver is a minority, is a black guy, right? In that whole racing league. But because they are a brotherhood, and they understand America's hurting, and you know they probably also understand that people are watching, right? And then you can maybe, I'll just be honest with you, they can gain some market share, or whatever. But they're doing the right thing. All factions of the you know, saying the drivers, not, you know, saying in this particular case, drivers, and ownership, and the corporation that is NASCAR, they're doing the right thing. So how could we not? How could we, you know, saying disrespect that? And they don't have no, you know, they don't have any of these issues that NFL has kind of presented itself with. So I say kudos to NASCAR for doing it.
Okay, interesting. Okay, John, who would have thought we'd be getting you in NASCAR and golf?
I know, man. This is an unprecedented day.
Yeah, I know, right? Do you have a problem? And I guess that's just not how I word it. What was your thoughts? I don't know if you've seen it. Dabo Sweeney is under a flurry of people pissed off at him because he wore a Football Matters T-shirt. He came out with a 14-minute rant because there was a condition or something where somebody used the N-word, one of the players did, and then the coach went back at him and said it in a way that was just repeating it. And if you're going to say it, you're going to say it this or something like that. Mm-hmm. Wasn't bad taste. Dabo came out with a 14-minute Instagram or Twitter video last night. I watched the whole thing. I was confused by it even more. Did you see it? And if you did, your thoughts?
Seen it. I was going to respond to like what Dabo did said early on when somebody asked him about his comments about protesting as he was kind of on the other side against it. Three years ago when somebody asked him, shoved the mic in his face and asked him about Colin Kaepernick. I'm like, why would you be asking him? I know why, but
right.
Kind of how he took his, like I said, the position that he took during that time. Man, Dabo, I don't know, man. He's got his own personal beliefs about patriotism and about the American way of life. And he doesn't want to offend anybody. And he doesn't want to lose recruits. Or any, you know, or his team for that matter. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't get to where he's at, as young as he is, at a position he Nick Saban had how many bounce back and forth with the NFL? I mean, how many assistant coaching positions did he take before he restored Alabama to Alabama standards, right? And Dabo Swinney, you know, saying though he ain't a spring chicken, he's not as old as Nick Saban. You know what I mean? So you don't get to this point. Of Dabo Swinney without staying out of the political eye, staying out of, you know, political situations, because things can turn political real, you know, in the recruiting world it can, you know. So when you try to tightrope some things are going to be misconstrued. But you know, when it comes to the crux of it, Brandon, when it comes to like protests and so forth, if a player asked him if they felt like the need to protest, Dabo should have just been like, yeah, man, I'm not going to, and this is why. And this is what you
right.
should just still support and still support it. You know what I mean? And if you feel the need, so like go out there, bend the knee with whatever form of sport, go walk with them. I know Purdue they did the Purdue football, I do believe they walked. They just did a walk in a show of solidarity for what's going on in the world. Those things are impactful just too. You ain't gotta go to downtown or wherever the governor's mansion or walk up to the mayor's office or go to some police station and be wanting to burn it down. That's not, you know what I'm saying. Black people just want support. Not that I'm speaking for all black people, but I'm saying black people just want support and for anybody in Dabo Swinney's position, which is a position of power. This is cut and dry to it, right, too, to understand, especially, you know what I'm saying, somebody like Dabo Swinney. So when he sends out mixed messages because he's trying to tightrope Brandon, it's going to piss off a lot of people that, you know,
yep.
and hopefully, I mean, I don't want to know. I don't want to say he knows what side his bread is buttered on, but hopefully he figures that out. Not saying you should cave.
Oh yeah.
Not saying personally you should cave, but like, dude, you should support the youth that you say you want them to do the right thing. And Dabo usually has great, hyperboles or great, you know what I'm saying, one-liners or whatever. Great takes that we can take from it. You know what I'm saying, as a leader, but like. This stuff, like, which I'll go check it out after the show, man. But again, it's a little confusing, real confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Speaking of Purdue Boilermakers, real quick, I have a note. John, their video boards, they're having their new giant video board now is massive, and it looks good. I can't wait to get fans back in there. I can't wait for us to get down there again. Hopefully, they don't get blitzed like they did by TCU when we were there. But that new video board is gigantic. So, and they're going to say they're getting the right recruits and the right players in there. So I'm looking forward to it. John, I'm going to play a song. I don't know if you'll be able to hear it. I'm going to put my headphones and stuff close to the computer because I don't have it on the actual, it's late. I didn't get to put it actually on the program. So I'm going to see if you can hear it and let me know what my next topic is. You know what that is, John? Did you hear it?
Is that somebody's intro?
That is a fight song. And I'm going to say fight on for the Trojans of USC because the man is home. The legend is back home. The man who created USC football in the 2000s is home.
Oh, yeah.
Reggie Bush, welcome back to USC.
Man, that dude was electric. That dude was electric. They had originally recruited Reggie Bush to be a five position type of when they originally mm-hmm. when Pete Carroll and the staff kind of brought him on to USC. And like obviously, you know what I'm saying, he was all freshman, whatever, his first year. A real true freshman, which is still is when the Pac-10, right? When Pac-12 was actually somebody, and there was actually more than one team in the Pac-12 that was about something. Now, I think Arizona State and Stanford were good, as well as Washington State back in those times, right? But like I said, Reggie Bush was Mr. Electric. Could catch out the backfield, could run between the tackles. Oh my God, man! There's nothing that is seemingly on the football field outside of than pass. And I think he didn't necessarily pass for a touchdown. I think I got to find the tape on that one. He might have threw a pass in a game against, I can't think of a lesser. It might have been against Utah State. Don't quote me. Don't quote me on that. But what I'm saying, man, for this guy, and again, I get it that it's gonna say, as we kind of talked about with the allegations of Zion Williamson, Reggie Bush's were found to be true. An agent gave his family over $300,000 worth of improper benefits, and Reggie Bush shouldn't have been playing for the University of. He shouldn't have been. He forfeited at that point. He forfeited his amateur status. How about that? Some of the most memorable games, the college collegiate games during that time, feature him against. The Texas and Vince Young in the national championship game is one that I can think of, but the one that hits close to home is the Notre Dame game and the Bush push in 2000. What was it? Was that 2005? 2004.
I think it was five. Reggie Quinn was crying. Yeah.
Oh wow! We never will get a South Bend. We never will get the South Bend credentials, man. Brady Quinn was crying. Yes, but Brady Quinn was crying. Because they performed an illegal, the USC performed an illegal procedure, but didn't get caught for
push.
It. But that was a highly contested Bush push, right? It's a highly contested game, but like I said, Reggie Bush, Heisman Trophy winner that they took back from him, and I take that back. He turned it in when they called for it. He actually turned it in. So I understand the amateur status being violated. He still played the game on the field. And that is what they came – like those memories you can't take away from me, you can't take away from him because he turned into – he didn't necessarily turn into an NFL star on that level. He won a Super Bowl with the Saints, right? Where they had they had a dual back system during there. But he bounced around for a couple of years. He might have dated a Kardashian or two, right, before the, everything went crazy with that particular family. But like, nah, man, I'm glad. I don't see Reggie. I don't see Reggie Bush as a victim. Okay, I don't. I don't see him as crying his way back into the open arms of USC. He's had a good career off the field. He's only 35 years old. He's had a good career off the field from being a media darling, bouncing between ESPN and Fox and whoever else, right? So this kind of just gives him an open arms mm-hmm. to maybe hiring back. To maybe hiring back, you know what I'm saying, for Trojan to be a commentator or something like that, or be, you know what I'm saying, to be, you know, be back around the program, that type of thing.
Right.
Listen, there's all kind of improprieties. I don't think USC is going to put themselves in jeopardy like that ever again. So it's a feel good.
Speaking of comeback sports, John, MLS, Major League Soccer is going to return July 8th. They're going to have a hashtag MLS is back tournament. Starting July 8th. So looking forward to MLS getting back. And you got to think then, Indy 11, where are we at with Indy 11 in the U.S., the USHL, not USHL. I can't think of the league name now. Sorry. We'll have to get our friend of the program back on soon.
We get John Coloder on here. I've talked to him. We get him on here for sure.
Yep. Absolutely. So with that, John, AEW, WWE had the NXT pay-per-view in your house this past Sunday. I thought it was an all right show. There was some funny tweets. Randy Orton said, too many slap of the knees, and that pissed off one of the competitors, Ciampa. And then he said, My baby couldn't fall asleep. I got home from the event. My baby couldn't fall asleep last night, so thank God I found some Randy Orton matches that would put her to sleep. Hashtag everybody in this locker room works their ass off. So it's starting to fire up a little bit. We've got pay-per-view this weekend, the greatest wrestling match ever tagged. I hate that tag, but Orton and Edge is going to fight. And then, yeah, so it's another pay-per-view coming up. Hopefully we can start getting fans back in WWE. I think that's when it'll start ramping up with everything, getting it back in. So.
Yeah, there's more hype sense of awareness. We still ain't at the hype sense of awareness where we're at when we had the Monday Night Wars when it was Raw versus Nitro. But this is a more hype sense of awareness of wrestling, professional sports entertainment, rather, whether it be WWE, whether it be AEW. What kind of is missed with a lot of these shows that I kind of just, I mean, I kind of check in or dip in and out of all of them, even the ones that are the independent ones, Ring of Honor, you know what I mean, and NWA. But mm-hmm. when the fan reaction of booing and cheering and whatnot, that's, even though they still have been able to put on a show with fireworks and whatnot and you know what I'm saying, hitting, you still miss fans. So I have been, like I said, I have been a little bit more drawn into some of the storylines. There's great storylines going on, obviously, with NXT. There's people that believe at some point NXT is going to take over SmackDown. I don't know if that mm-hmm. if they ever invest that much money like they do, like they did on SmackDown with NXT, but they actually had the better show. So.
Yep. Okay. All right, John. Well, I don't have too much else tonight. We did about over an hour, 10-minute show. We're starting to get back, so we'll have more talk next week. NASCAR is getting ready to start for those people that are watching it live. If not, you're listening to the podcast. Thank you for downloading. But yeah, it's we're starting to get them back, John. Slowly but surely, sports betting is back. We've got the NBA. There's going to be loaded games in the NBA. I'll probably be dead this fall because of all the NBA, possibly MLB, college football, college basketball. Hopefully I'm on top. So we'll see. But I had a great week, John, and we're gonna get these sports back, and we're gonna be able to get people on next week's show. You want to listen in next week? We have a good chance for a special guest coming on next week. I am excited if this guest gets confirmed.
Yeah, we'll hopefully. As anybody can listen to the show today, we did talk a lot. We talked up a lot of golf today, and I have kind of, you know what I'm saying, I have become knee deep, if not thigh deep, in my golf terminology and knowing more about that particular sport. I did reach out a couple weeks ago to the friend of the program, you know what I'm saying, school of the program, right, University of Ball State, to learn more about the tradition. Believe it or not, they actually have between the women's and men's program. Ball State Golf has a great tradition that I don't think people kind of know about. Well, guess what? Next week, hopefully, we get Coach. It's in the working. Hopefully, we get Coach Mike Fleck, who's the head coach of Ball State. He's been at Ball State since 1993. Hopefully, we can work out an appearance. You know what I'm saying? An appearance or two, because we have kind of talked back and forth. So like, yeah, Brandon has let the cat out of the bag. we're gonna talk a little.
I didn't say his name.
It's all good. It's all good. We're gonna talk a little bit. We're gonna talk a lot of golf in the coming weeks. And like I said, Coach Fleck, we're gonna be proud to have him on the show.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's all I've got this evening. Last thing I say before I cut it to you, John, is Reggie, you better keep practicing, my man, because it's coming for you. It's coming.
Oh man, I can't wait. I can't wait for this particular matchup to go off. Like I said, I'll even go out there and give me a couple strokes, ladies and gentlemen. I gotta find me a nice little outfit, right, to go out there and represent. But like I said, man, our Crossroads Sports podcast, we are great supporters of the community, proud to be part of the Indianapolis community, and like I said, man. Proud that everybody's. I get between me and Brandon. I know we get people, friends and family, both sharing, liking, you know, downloading the posts. We keep on sharing, folks. If you know somebody likes sports, even casually, you forward the link to us. I'm not begging for anybody to do so, but like, hey man, you know, we're trying to put on a great show each and every week. And you know, saying for the most part, I think not to pat myself on the back too hard. I think we fulfill that. So with all that being said, Brandon, I just thank everybody for listening.
Crossroads Sports.